from sobriety, sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Sobriety. Moving further every day. Plenty of young cats still got affection for real spitters. Hair of the dog got good reason to feel bitter.
Plenty. And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's Clinton and Leslie.
Well, good morning, Clinton.
Good morning, Leslie.
How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I am barely conscious. That's how I am.
Barely?
Barely.
Barely conscious.
You are lucky that there are clothes on with me today. Like, that's, yeah.
That's, ooh.
Yeah.
Am I lucky or unlucky that they're clothes on?
Well, I suppose that all depends on your perspective now, doesn't it?
I think that I'm quite set in my perspective that I am unlucky.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, potato.
That is.
You know how that goes.
Exactly. Down with my tomatoes and my tomatoes.
Are you?
Yes.
All right. Well, good. So
I had an interesting experience last night.
You did?
I did. I know that this is a show about local art, and yeah, we are dedicated.
We are.
To it being a show about local art.
It.
But I want to speak for a moment.
All right.
If I may, if I could,
uh-huh,
if you will allow me to.
Sure.
About a non-local art. I watched,
okay,
Patton Oswalt's new Netflix comedy special.
Oh, that's on my list. You know, when I have a life again.
When you have a life again, you should. You should, because so for the first bit of it, like he starts and he does a little bit of Trump material.
Yeah.
For maybe like the first 5 minutes or so, and then,
yeah,
he says that's it, no more Trump jokes for the rest of the, like, just done.
Okay.
Done. And he does a little bit more, but he says, you know, done. It's just like he's not going to do it. And then,
right,
he goes into more material.
Uh-huh.
He does some audience interaction. It's fun. And it's all building up for about the halfway point where he then does what, and I don't know if you know this about Patton Oswalt, but recently he lost his wife.
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Yes. Lost his wife. Patton Oswalt. I'm a big fan. If there are other people who are big fans of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yeah,
as I am, he was playing a really fun character on it.
Yeah.
And just disappeared. Why? Because he lost his wife.
Yeah.
He's got this young daughter. She's in kindergarten.
Yeah.
And just devastated him. Blew up his world.
Well, of course.
And so he does in this special what great artists do and what great comedians do, which he then does material.
He uses it.
About losing his wife.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so good.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful. And it, by the end of it.
Yeah.
You are, at least I was, both laughing and crying. And you really, he really builds up, your empathy. And what it occurs to me right at the end of it is I said to myself, you know what? Yeah, SOB, you've been doing a whole show about Trump the entire time, because if there's one thing that you can, because you know, here's the thing, the person at the top sets the tone.
Yeah.
Whether consciously or I think even unconsciously,
oh, of course,
for the entire country, the person at the top sets the tone, and we have been so tempted to and moved to focus on the cracks,
yeah,
in our society, focus on the divisions, and even press against the cracks and press against the divisions, whether we are supporting them or we are railing against them. And the thing that's really going to counter that is not doing that, is empathizing, is finding a way to see ourselves and other people and be with ourselves in other people. And it's empathy that's really going to bring us through this. And
oh my God, did you just say love Trump's hate? That's what you just said?
I tried not to, because I've got a cold enough, shriveled enough old cynical heart.
I know.
To keep me from doing that. But
I know. What's happening to you over there?
Patton Oswalt.
Where is my grumpy old man? I You can't turn my world upside down like this when I'm this tired.
It's okay. He'll be back soon.
Okay. All right. This is temporary, right?
Still got some grump there.
All right. Jeez.
Grump for the Trump, I'm sure. Which is going to be my new charity, by the way.
New slogan. That's a new hashtag right there.
There you go. Grump for the Trump.
Oh, my God.
But while we're talking about empathy, let's move on. How's that for a segue?
That is a good segue. That's a very good segue. I like that.
Going to move on to our two guests who are here this morning, Danny Shea and Kat Dillon. Danny, you on the phone there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Yes. Yay. I'm always happy when the phone works. Danny, you are with the Southern Cafe and Music Hall, right?
Yes. I work with the Southern and the Jefferson Theater.
And tell us what you do there.
I do the booking for both those rooms and kind of assist on the production, execution, and marketing for both as well. So, yeah, it's definitely busy season these days.
Groovy. And yes. Kat, you are not with the Southern or the Jefferson.
I am not. I'm with the Shelter for Help and Emergency here in town, our local domestic violence shelter. And I am the events coordinator there.
Dig it. And so what is it possibly that could be bringing two great people like you together?
Well, I will leave that one to Danny because I was lucky enough to have Danny reach out to me.
Well, it's kind of a loaded question in a sense because, there are different ways we could look at this. the Mock Star Ball is a traditional costume party that the Southern has thrown. I think this is the sixth year mm-hmm. of it, and it's basically it's local bands playing sets as if they're other bands, and then the audience comes in costume. It's, you know, it's just kind of a crazy, silly costume party.
Now that's such and a cool. Can I just jump in and say that's such a cool idea? Who came up with that?
You know, that's a good question too. To be honest, I did not come up. I was not involved with the first few Mock Star Balls, but I did. I used to book a room called Satellite Ballroom, mm-hmm. where CVS now sits on the corner, and we had a couple of years where a local collective, local musicians came together as a collective to play as Mass Sabbath, where it was like a 20-person Black Sabbath tribute band, and it would be a Halloween show, and so this kind of Mock Star Ball kind of evolved from that, but I wasn't involved in the first couple of years. However, we've been doing tribute shows at the Jefferson and Southern since its existence, locally based tribute shows.
Right.
After David Bowie passed, we did a David Bowie tribute with four bands.
Indeed.
And we were able to raise $7,500 for the UVA Cancer Center.
And a much needed tribute. I mean, great to raise that money for the Cancer Center, but also I think it was, I mean, Bowie's death hit so many people so much harder than so many other celebrity deaths that was, I think, an important step of, believe it or not, I think, community mourning.
I agree 100%. And I'm a huge fan personally. That actually was our third tribute to David Bowie. You know, we did two just because of the love of his music.
Mm-hmm.
And we did one for Prince as well that was a benefit for MRC, which is also great. Yeah, we did a benefit show for the Charlottesville Area Community Fund, which was not as closely themed, but it was a locally based show. It was all local musicians, and I guess what I'm saying is we have a very deep pool of incredibly talented local musicians. It's a huge part of what makes this town what it is.
Yeah.
The fabric is strong there. And it is their enthusiasm that makes this Mock Star Ball work. But I've known that it's been enormously successful over the years, but I felt like it was important that we all... And it was kind of through my experience through those other tributes when we were starting to do them as fundraisers that they can be much more gratifying for everybody if we can do it in the spirit of a worthy cause, and if we can hand over a check that feels like it's making a difference. And this year, it felt important to me to celebrate Whitney French, who was a victim of domestic violence earlier this year, and a friend of mine that I've known for years. To not forget her story, and especially with the dark clouds that have been over this town all year, you know. It's just been waves crashing of bad stories, and I didn't want to forget the tragedy of losing Whitney last spring, and reaching out to their family. They wanted to work with Shelter for Help in Emergency, which made 100% perfect sense to me. And the fact that they are organized and able to, you know, pivot very quickly to engage with us, I think is great. So we're more than happy to bring them in, and the artists are excited about having this charity component. And what the thing is, the Mockstar Ball is a brand that we've been, you know, working with, but I think we're going to carry on the Mockstars part of it and tag that on to future tribute shows at the Southern or Jefferson to try to help, you know, give a little more substance to those nights where we can kind of do these regularly. And the Mockstar Ball has its own character, and, you know, it's its own event for Halloween at the Southern, but we can have something that kind of lives through the year that we can point to and, you know, do these kind of things and to help different aspects of the community.
Cool. So how many bands do you have playing?
Well, there's two nights, and for the first night, there's 7, and the second night, there's 6.
Wow.
And what we usually do is retrofit a second stage. So there's a small stage at the back of the room and then the main stage. So there's not a whole lot of air between the sets.
You got 13 local bands to commit to two nights.
Amazing, right?
Yeah, that must have taken some time.
That's awesome, though. And so you approached them as we're doing this for the Shelter for Help in Emergency, and were any of them reticent?
Well, no. At this point, they know it's coming, and I start getting inquiries from local musicians in June.
That's saying, awesome.
Hey, you know, have you started? We want to be Green Day really bad.
Yeah, I was wondering, at this point, are they saying, like, we've got...
That's like, great.
Like, if we want to do it and we want to be Joy Division, are they calling you like that?
I mean, there's a great spirit with it that... the people are very enthusiastic to participate. I didn't have to say no to anyone really this year. But the thing is, there's not really a bad set time. I mean, it's a huge party. If you're playing at 8 o'clock or if you're playing at 12 o'clock, there's going to be a lot of people there for you. So it's okay, you know, regardless. And you know, they have to share gear, and it's a big, you know, it's a big mess logistically that they're happy to endure and participate. So, this year I told them, and honestly, you know, the ticket price is usually, you know, $10 to $15. And this year we're substantially more. It's $20. But, you know, we're donating half of every ticket for the cause. So that way I'll still be able to pay the bands, which is a pittance really for the energy they put into it. Uh-huh. But, it covers some of the extra costs we put into the show that, you know, to produce the second stage. I mean, everybody's bought in and the show's selling really well. We expect 2 sold out nights. And last year, you know, the show was sold out days before, and I saw them on Craigslist going for over $20. So I felt like,
wow,
why should we, you know, we should be capturing that money and pushing it towards a good cause.
All right.
So speaking
and,
of that,
and the bands have been happy with it too. Yeah.
So speaking of that good cause, let me turn to Kat. So what was it like from your end? Did the Southern contact you?
Yeah, we were incredibly honored and grateful when they reached out. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, so we have a wide range of activities and events going on throughout the month. And when Danny got in contact with us, it sounded like an absolutely perfect event. You know, we obviously want to be able to raise as much money at all times. We're a nonprofit, and a large portion of our budget comes from individual giving and events like this. So that was amazing because that's more clients that we can serve and help. And we also, the clients we serve and help, and the way that we serve and help the community is by being a resource, not just to people who are experiencing intimate partner violence, but to people who have been close to it and are dealing with it and possibly grieving from it. And what Danny mentioned earlier about, you know, the cloud in our community, and I think there's been a lot of trauma in our community as a community as a whole, and with different segments and populations of our community, and they're certainly very different types of violence. And still, I think for people who lost Whitney, you know, she seems to have been very well known in the community. People really, really cared about her. So for people to have a chance to process some of that trauma and grief, especially in the wake of, I think, added trauma and grief that everyone else is dealing with, we were very excited to be able to come out, be a part of that, and do it in a way that celebrates Whitney's life and celebrates, you know, the amazingness that can be, the times that are good.
So tell us a little bit more about the Shelter for Help in Emergency. What exactly do you guys do?
Yeah, we provide comprehensive services to victims of domestic violence and their families in the greater Charlottesville area. So that's Charlottesville and then the counties of Albemarle, Fluvanna, Greene, Louisa, and Nelson. The only organization that offers those services in that area. So we provide an emergency residential shelter for people who need a safe place to get out and stay. We have a 24/7 crisis hotline that is not just for victims, but we also encourage the public, if you have a friend or family going through something, you don't know what to do, call us. That's what we're there for. And then we have outreach services as well. So our last year, I think we had about 211 women and children come through our shelter to stay over the year. And then we provided outreach services to over 290 people in the community. And that would include things like group counseling, legal advocacy, help connecting to resources,
right,
things like that. And we have a Spanish-speaking advocate who works specifically with the Spanish-speaking community in this area, rural outreach advocate. So we really try to provide as many services to as many people in a way that is easiest for them to access.
Right. Wow. Those were big numbers, though. I mean, I know I shouldn't be shocked, but still.
It's always shocking. We get over 1,200 hotline calls a year, and we're a local place. But one in four women experience intimate partner violence in their lifetime, and one in nine men.
Right.
And it's something that's still very stigmatized, something that we don't talk about very openly and honestly. So it's very easy to think that not that many people are experiencing it because maybe you heard of one person sometime.
Right.
But when you look at those statistics, you go, oh, no, I definitely know someone this
I definitely know
to.
People. Yeah. And not just one person. Like, I know multiple people that this is happening to right now.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to pay a bill. Right. Just one?
Yeah, just one.
Just one. All right, we only have enough to pay one, but we got to pay this one bill. And we'll be right back. All right, it is 21 minutes past the hour here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And if you're just tuning in, set an alarm, people. We've been going for 21 minutes. You've missed stuff. Jeez.
It's Sunday. It's Sunday morning.
Hey,
sometimes, you know.
I'm up.
I understand.
I'm up. They can be up. I'm just saying.
But also, you know, if they've missed the beginning of this great, great interview, talking to Danny Shea from the Southern and the Jefferson Southern Cafe and Music Hall and the Jefferson Theater and Kat Dillon from the Shelter for Help and Emergency, if they've missed that.
Yeah, I know. They can do the podcast. But, you know.
They can always, you know.
But, you know.
Hear us on SIVOPodcast.com.
I'm just saying, I'm up. You know, the respectable thing to do, the, you know, the nice thing to do.
Don't guilt our listeners.
Honey, I'm
both,
a mother.
Both of them are nice.
It works, you know.
Both
why?
Of them are very nice people.
I guilt because it works. Guilt and bribery. Hi, welcome to motherhood. But anyway, so Danny,
yes.
So what mock star bands are we going to see on the 28th?
Yeah, well, let me tell you. We're going to have Joy Division, Yeah, Fleetwood Mac, MC5, Green Day.
Are the people who are being Fleetwood Mac, do they all have to either sleep with each other or have slept with each other?
Right. Is there an actual threesome going on? I just want to...
That's a good and important question. How much do these bands, like, buy into
the persona?
Well, we're actors. Yeah. We just want to know how deep they're going, you know? That's all I'm saying.
Are they method about this?
That's yeah. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, it's... they really buy in. The bands really go in and, you know... With costume and in action, I can't tell you for certain. We'll have to. There's only one way to find out.
Right? We'll have to wait for the Mock Stars Behind the Music special.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
well,
it.
And also, I mean, well, I tried
tickets,
to. I tried to theme the genres a little bit the best we could based on availability and stuff too. So the Friday night show is a little bit more on the rock side, and the Saturday show is a little more on the pop, but also Americana. And for Saturday night, it's closing out with a Tom Petty tribute with the members of Cameo and Whiskey and Lord Nelson, which I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
But there's also going to be Lady Gaga. Adar is doing Lady Gaga. Oh, nice. And Disco Risque is doing Bruno Mars.
Oh, my God.
Gina Sobel, Choose Your Own Adventure, is doing Wolfpack, which is kind of a more... I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're a very popular jam band.
Yeah. You
know, let's see. Well, it's Adam's Plastic Pond is doing Fleetwood Mac. The Breakers are doing Green Day. Shagwolf, who's a great rock band in town.
We've had them on the show.
We could use more just straight up rock bands in this town, I think. But they're doing Yeah. Ethan Lipscomb is doing Nine Inch Nails. And there's a collection of bands doing a Black Sabbath tribute to close out the Friday night.
Oh my God. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty action packed. And we'll have an MC, and a new addition is WTJU is coming on as a media sponsor. And I think there are going to be some volunteer rock DJs spinning between sets at the beginning and the end of the show.
Awesome.
And they'll be an ongoing partner with us with future events too. So with the Mockstar event. But part of the mission with Mockstar will always be to raise funds for a worthy cause.
Oh, good. Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
That's really great. So,
and also one thing to remember is Whitney. You know, I can't say how happy I am that Shelter and Health and Emergency, and just hearing how broad their mission is and the resources they provide, that's a really hard an important, crucial mission that they execute every day.
Yeah, for people who don't know, could you speak about Whitney for just a moment?
Well, I was just going to say that Whitney was at every Mockstar Ball and had one of the most ambitious costumes, and she's just so full of life, and she's so bright and positive and kinetic. And she had a gravitational force. You know, there was definitely a really positive aura with her. And I knew her when I worked at Satellite Ballroom. She worked at the corner coffee shop right behind Satellite. And I would be the most annoying customer coming in 15 minutes before they closed on Friday with a bunch of posters that had to be printed, like, right now for smart flyers to distribute. And she'd always just kind of put up with it, and in a, the best way. I mean, I don't know. There's like an enthusiasm that she had. There's just a real spark, you know. And I wasn't close friends with her, but I definitely knew enough to know that she was really special. And so, yeah, it's been hard, you know. It's been hard for everyone, but you know, I reached out to her family, and they're very grateful to do this in her name too. And you know, maybe they were even a little surprised based on the, you know, the events in town that that I remembered to, you know, because we talked about doing something at her service, but to have it kind of manifest in a specific way, and in a way that really speaks to her. Because like I said, I mean, you can go through the years and pictures of her at Mockstar in, you know, a Statue of Liberty or whatever. You know, she definitely was as invested in having fun with this as much as anybody else. And that's the thing. That's the only way this is fun, is everyone coming and participating. You know, it's not the bands on stage. It's everyone. It's the crowd is the show there.
All right, so Clinton,
she understood that as much as anybody.
Clinton, what's your costume going to be?
Don't look at me.
What?
Look at me. They're very limited fat old black man costumes that you can do. And now the way Bill Cosby is, there's no one can do Fat Albert.
You can't just do Fat Albert.
Every Bill Cosby reference is just retired.
Yeah, that's true.
Can't do Fat Huxtable.
Like
Cliff
seriously,
Huxtable. Can't do Fat. I'm done.
No, but seriously, I mean, I would make something for you.
That's very sweet.
You can't afford that much fabric.
Oh, my Lord. Well, Danny, thank you so much for coming on the show and letting us know about this amazing event. So it's October 28th?
It's the 27th and 28th.
27th and 28th. All right, people, mark your calendars. Yeah. Get your tickets for the 2017 Mock Stars Ball.
Friday and Saturday.
All right, Kat, thank you so much.
Thank you
for the work you do in this community. It is unfortunately needed, but we're happy that you're here to do it.
We're happy to be able to help.
All right.
Yeah, thanks, Kat.
Woo!
Thanks, Danny.
Thanks a lot. All right.
My goodness. My goodness. All right, so the show's going to get happier, right?
Only if we can talk about the things that are coming up.
Can we? Oh, my goodness. Let's do that. It's your last chance to see Will and Wit, the musical by DMR Adventures at Belmont Arts Collective. Currently running October 28th, the complete works of Shakespeare Bridge at Guerrilla Theater. October 29th, Arthur Miller's The Crucible at Four County Players in the Cellar. November 11th, Edward Albee's, running through November 11th, Edward Albee's A Delicate Balance at Live Arts. Through November 26th, the American Shakespeare Center's summer and fall season featuring Much Ado About Nothing, Love's Labor's Lost, Henry VI Part 3 by Shakespeare, and the modern musical Peter and the Starcatcher at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. Running through January 16th, the Kluge Roo Aboriginal Art Collection presents an off-site exhibition, Defending the Ocean, 21 works by contemporary indigenous artists celebrating the central importance of the ocean to human life at the Charles L. Brown Science and Engineering Library in UVA's Clark Hall. Oh my God, that was long. Okay. Tomorrow, free tours of the Paramount Theater at 12 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. Tomorrow, The Art of Reconciliation, another installment of New City Arts Maker Series, co-sponsored by The Garage, featuring musician Alex Mayas, textile designer Alyssa Phoebus Montaz, and the photographer Eze Amos. Eze! What's up, baby? At Christ Episcopal Church. October 25th, New City Arts and Crafts, the New City Arts monthly drop-in event with reading time for the kids and grit coffee and scones for the adults at New City Arts Welcome Gallery on 3rd Street Northeast. October 25th, also Laugh Your Ass Off, open mic at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall with your host, Chris Allen. Hey, Chris, when you coming back on the show, man? For real? Like, you have been here forever. October 26th, UVA MFA Reading Series continues this week with Caleb Nolan and Phil Jason at the New Dominion Bookshop. And of course, the 27th and 28th, Goethe Institute's P3M5 project, the Plurity of Privacy Project in 5-minute plays by UVA Dramas in the theater department in the Helms Theater. That's an interesting name. I want to know more about that.
It's a weird, yeah.
It's very odd, but it sounds really cool.
Doesn't it?
All right. October 28th, Charlottesville Writer House offers the seminar Be Afraid, Be Very Afraid, Writing Stories to Scare Your Readers, led by Warren Rochelle. Oil painting class with Renee Balfour. Bring your easel and your paints. You'll be working on Can I start that over?
Take it.
Okay. There's an oil painting class with Renee Balfour. Bring your easel. You'll be learning new painting techniques at Emancipation Park. Okay. That was,
nailed it. Made it
that's
your
better,
own.
Right? Okay. November 2nd, former guest Shannon Harrigan leads the Charlottesville Writer House Seminar, The Making of a Debut Memoir, a conversation about lessons learned and tricks of the trade. Really? Aren't you making a memoir when you, like, live? That's how it works, right? It's your life story.
Oh, apparently it's so much more.
Apparently. I guess. I don't know.
And for your music options this week.
Guess what's music?
Today.
I had those on.
Great. That was great. You guys missed the wonderful sight of Leslie leaping from her chair and forgetting she still had her headphones on. So today you can see Alex Arbaugh rocking the folks and with the folks that rock at Walt Wolf Brewery at 2 p.m. Also, folk singer-songwriter Matthew McAllister plays Stinson Vineyards at 2 p.m. Also today, Stanton's old-time Snake Milkers at Blue Mountain Brewery at 2:30. Charlottesville's Rolling Stones cover band Cherry Red plays Dirty Nellies today at 4:30. October 24th, Jonah Kane West Trio at Zacalo. October 24th, Travis Elliott Fellini's on the 26th. The Weed Eaters play the Whiskey Jar. Wild Rose is at the Anteroom, and Coda and Marie are at Dirty Nellie's. On the 27th, our woman Gina Sobel is at Wegmans Food Market because Wegmans has to take over everything, including performance. Also on the 27th, the Chickenhead Blues Band at Venture Farm and Vineyards. Jen Tal and the Huzz Band at Wild Wolf Brewery. Tim Riles at Dirty Nellie's. On the 28th, from the 28th till November 3rd, Victory Hall Opera presents Rameau's Sympathy at the Haven.
Yes, it's lovely. It's lovely. I may DNG it. Come see it. It's so funny.
There you go. One of the many things that Leslie's doing right now. October 28th, DJ Groovematic at Rapture. Also, Scuffletown at Ducard Vineyards. And the Freebridge Quintet at Old Cabell Hall, giving you the jazz the way the jazz needs to be given to
you. Yes, jazz.
Freebridge Quintet. October 28th, also the Positive Collective at the Front Porch Rouge Music School. And Gabriel Planas and then Robert Joss Bay Express at Fellini's. And every Friday morning, it's the West African Drum Circle at the Front Porch Rouge Music School. Every Monday, the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Also, Seafoot, the Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music, have their weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Every Tuesday, it's the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Tuesday, also Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Umberto Sales at the Bebedero. On Wednesday, it's the open mic night at Pro Reynado Farm Brewery, the open mic night at Holly's Deli and Pub hosted by Josh Mayo, the Jazz Collective number 9 at Fellini's number 9, Bachata Fusion at the Anteroom presented by the Charlottesville Salsa Club, DJ and Friends at the Bebedero, and the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. Every Thursday, it's Lua at the Bebedero, and of course, every Thursday,
John Durth
at Miller's.
Yeah, by the way, John, come on the show, dude.
If we big up him enough, he's got to come on.
Well, I think we just shame him into it. Like, every week, we just ask. Every week, we ask. Seriously, John, you can bring your trumpet. Like, we're cool with that. We want you to bring your trumpet. Fill our studio with your melodious utterings.
I'll be down with that. You know what I'm also down with?
What are you down with?
I'm down with the fact that it's 36 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. People should stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call.
They should.
Where your host, Rick Moore, is going to talk to Jerry Stenger, director of the State Office of Climatology at UVA's Department of Environmental Science. I thought that by decree from the top, such things as the State Office Department of Climatology would be shut down, but apparently we still have it.
We still have it's a state thing.
They're
it's
talking
not
about
federal.
They're talking about weather and climate change before the FCC finds out and shuts the show down.
Oh my. Oh my.
But first.
But first, ladies and gentlemen.
Coming back to the show.
Oh my God.
Triumphant.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The impresario.
The amazing.
The art presario.
The wonderful.
The czar that will. The administrative czar that will go far.
I like that I'm now an art presario.
Of course you are.
I'm down with that.
That talent fountain from across the mountain.
Yes. We're just a little odd this morning.
I love it.
Her sideshow is always right front and center. It's Carmel Klavan.
Woo!
Hey,
honey.
I gotta say, you're like, John Durth, come on our show. Please come on our show. And I'm all like, can I come on your show? Can I come back? Can I come hang out? You don't need to talk to John Durth. You need to talk to me.
That's right. That's right. Because you know exactly how fun this is.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Here I am.
Yes.
Hi, guys. It's been
a
minute.
Hi, Carmel. How are things over in Stanton?
They're really good. The Kettle just celebrated its one-year anniversary.
Now, for the people, for the minuscule amount of people who did not hear your wonderful interview the last time you were, can you tell them what the Kettle is?
Oh, man, you're making it sound infamous.
It is.
The Kettle is a collaborative performance venue right in downtown Stanton, and I run it currently. I hope that it will eventually become a co-op, a true co-op space.
Mm-hmm.
But we've gone through our first year of making weird stuff together and sharing a space and working out the kinks of what that would look like and kind of upsetting the balance and the propaganda that things like that can only exist in cities.
Mm.
So we are doing...
Here.
Thank
here,
you.
Here,
we are doing some cool stuff over the mountain, Charlottesvillers, in Stanton, including why I am here today. For the Virginia Burlesque and Sideshow.
Oh!
For the who to the what to the who?
Yes!
I'm sorry, I'll say that again
yes!
for your ears. The Virginia Burlesque and Sideshow Festival.
Ooh!
Oh my.
That's
you
right.
know, yes. I knew you were going to do this.
I know, right?
I knew this was coming.
I put on the voice for you,
Leslie. I know. I'm so happy you did.
So the Virginia Burlesque and Sideshow Festival is celebrating its brave comeback. It is going into its fourth year, and it used to be housed in Richmond, but its organizers, that would be Future of Tradition Productions, Madame Ansa is the impresaria of that. they're bringing it over to Stanton because, again, back to that idea that just because you don't live in a big city or even a medium-sized city, it doesn't mean that you can't have excellent art. It
yes.
doesn't mean that you can't have excellent performance. And furthermore, with this year's theme of represent, it doesn't mean that you can't get up and show your queer, of color, of non-binary, of whatever presenting that you are proudly and have a group of people accept you, even in a place that is propagandistically shown to be rural, white, southern, and closed-minded.
Yeah.
That is not the case.
So talk about that, because burlesque and sideshow, first you should talk about burlesque and sideshow for people who don't know, but also burlesque and sideshow, they've also taken on that cachet, right? They've also gathered around an attitude or an atmosphere of a space for alternative, for alternative people, right?
Yes. So I should say first and foremost that the Virginia Burlesque and Sideshow Festival,
the Virginia Burlesque and Sideshow Festival,
is going to be on November 3rd and 4th at the Kettle in Stanton.
Yay!
So we're marrying all of those ideas that we've already presented together.
Yeah,
look at
that's
you,
a Friday and a Saturday,
bringing it all together.
That's right. And so to speak to your question about burlesque and sideshow being a place for alternative lives, alternative lifestyles. I think the cool thing about it is that it's not talking about it being alternative. It's talking about being your truth.
Yes.
So it is that it's less about a apology for not being normal and more about a celebration for being exactly what you are, whatever that is. So Burlesque and Sideshow have absolutely fostered that feeling and fostered that revolution, I would say, since the 90s when the neo-burlesque movement was coming back. Sideshow never really left. It's been kind of lurking in the shadows for the last 100 years. In the bars and the circus sideshows and the traveling shows. And so, and then there's some great... There's some. Do you want me to?
Yeah,
is this better?
Shoot.
I was gonna turn it, but I hold on. Maybe the mic won't fall down this time.
No, like this.
Okay. Is this better, Clinton? Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Is this a better angle for you?
Now the listeners feel very intimate.
They wish they were viewers. They wish they were viewers.
They so wish they were viewers.
Am I on the internet right now?
You are.
Oh my.
Oh yes.
Me without a stitch of makeup.
Oh.
It's actually true this morning. So, yes, Burlesque and Sideshow do those things naturally, but this festival happening on November 3rd and 4th is to really raise that up even higher and not have any confusion about the theme and any confusion about its intentions. This is a place where you can come and feel welcome and fly your freak flag if that's what you want to do. If you like to be called a freak, and if you don't, you can just fly whatever flag you're into.
Yes.
So... we've got some amazing performers from around Virginia and also around the region and the Eastern Seaboard. We've got male belly dancers. We've got burlesque performers. We've got sideshow performers from right here in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
We've got...
Now, what is that sideshow? So what is a side... What, give us an example of sideshow performers.
Okay. So sideshow, its origins come from circus. And so there is your midway, which is where all your big games and your big attractions... on your way, it was the path that they made you walk to get to the big top. It was as full as many things to get you to spend money as possible to get to the big top. And off to the side, on another less traveled corridor, was the sideshow. So this is where things like, which would traditionally be known as freaks, would be. But we're taking it back. We're taking back the name. But it's things like people who do, I guess you could call them stunts, like the human blockhead act, which is where a person pounds a nail into their nasal cavity. You
call it body manipulation.
Body manipulation, you could say. In the old days, it was also things that people who had... biological oddities about themselves. So they had some sort of what we now see as medical conditions, but were in a time with no internet and no real mass media to educate about those things. It would be like, you know, come see the seal boy or come see the he/she. And so now it's looked at differently, and sideshow has become something more about body manipulation, as you said, and less about physical oddity, like less tattooed ladies,
right.
You know, and more.
And more sword swallowers.
More sword swallowers and snake charmers and fire breathers, yes.
But I think we've got a lot of tattooed ladies in society now. We don't need to go to the circus to see them.
Well, that's the thing, is that it used to be shocking. It used to be a shock. The sideshow was the skeevy place. It was the place that you might not be safe, that something might happen. And so people went for a thrill as much as they went to see something amazing.
A walk on the wild side.
Speaking of which, glass walking is a big piece of sideshow. Glass walking, some amazing glass walkers in this area. Even I would like to do a shout out to Mab, just Mab, sideshow darling, up in DC, and Octavia, Lady Octavia in Richmond. They are both great glass walkers. So if you want to see some weird stuff, come to the Virginia Burlesque and Sideshow Festival. There's two days. So Friday is our opening party.
Well, let's pay another bill. Let's pay another bill and
just
come back right just for that one. With that information.
Yeah, just one.
47 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, where we are progressive and we have voices. But apparently, we don't have a doorknob that can stay on the door.
No, we don't.
No knobs here.
It's not me. It was not the angry black woman that ripped the doorknob off the door.
Cat Dylan ran into the problem as she was leaving.
And like, see,
before you,
the white guy did it too. I just want that on the record.
You'll still be blamed for it.
I know, because
this is America.
I'm the only angry black woman in the room. And,
indeed.
And don't get me wrong, I could rip the doorknob off if I were
like
so
a
inclined.
Champ, like a black Hulk.
That's right.
Come to think
black
of it,
why isn't there one?
Mr. McGee, don't make her angry.
Why isn't there one? Why isn't one of the, you know?
A black Hulk or a She-Hulk?
Oh, I'll tell you why there's no black Hulk. Because you certainly don't want a Langer when they're angry.
No, Clinton, they're always angry. That's
exactly.
The
That's the thing.
That's the thing.
They would never have a regular persona as far as the way we've been socialized.
It'll be like, hey, the black Hulk is angry. Really? How can you tell? Aren't they angry all the time?
I love this voice that you put on for the occasion. Right?
Yeah, you like that?
That's Clinton being a white guy.
I imagine like you're wearing a boater hat,
right?
And, like,
yes,
loafers. While you say that,
and there's got to be a little notebook in there somewhere, and there's got to be something in the side of his hat that says
news. Press.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah. All my fictitious white guys are from the turn of the last century.
I mean, I'd prefer mine to be from them.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're fictitious, certainly.
Voting suppression, we just call that voting.
We call that a Thursday.
Yes.
So we're here with Carmel Klavan.
That's me.
And she's talking about And she's talking about the Virginia Burlesque and Sideshow Fest.
That's right.
When is it?
November 3rd and 4th at the Kettle in downtown Stanton, Virginia.
Oh, I love her voice.
Dun, 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 dun.
I love it.
So, I was just telling you before the break that we have 2 days of festival activities. The first day is Friday evening, and it is a welcome party. So there'll be some belly dancing, there'll be music, there'll be some live music by Reverend Bill and myself.
Ooh.
Ooh, indeed. We're very excited about that, about a 30 or 40 minute cabaret set from the two of us. Very
nice.
Exciting.
Lovely.
And on Saturday, it's a full day of festival activities. So during the day, we have belly dancing with Yoni Bie. He's one of our headliners, and he's going to go through some tribal style clockwork and TikTok-y style belly dancing. It's very, very interesting. He's an award-winning belly dancer. And also, we have a choreography workshop with Boo Velvet, one of our headliners from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. She's a great burlesque dancer, and I love watching her perform. She loves disco, and so most of her stuff is
That's
to disco.
Awesome.
And I just
you can belly dance to disco.
No, it's burlesque.
Oh, burlesque.
I mean,
oh,
you
yeah.
could belly dance to disco, but she does burlesque.
Burlesque to disco.
And
burlesque.
Pole dancing actually is her specialty. So she runs a studio called Dance Club Asheville down in Asheville, North Carolina. She is great. And then in addition to the workshops, we also have, I believe it's at 1 o'clock, it's an open discussion, free to the public, for and by performers of color talking about their experiences as performers of color.
Yeah, yeah.
So we invite the community to come out to that. Whatever identity you find yourself in, please come. It'll be facilitated by Nadira Grubbs. She runs Seven Cities Dance Studio in Norfolk, Virginia. And I'm really excited about that. That's something that it's uncomfortable sometimes as a person not of color to talk about. And so I am really excited. I'm excited to get uncomfortable in a room full of people who are all there for the same reason, to expand and to talk and to be honest and to lay some real talk down.
Well, I mean, and I think there are a lot of things that... that white performers don't realize.
I am sure.
That we go through.
I am sure. We don't know what we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I am sure.
And, yeah, and spreading that understanding would definitely and hopefully help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be great.
So that evening will be capped off with our Saturday Spectacular, which is to the theme of represent, and it is to push again and underline again the idea of empowerment and diversity and strength. And so that'll be at 8 o'clock that evening. It'll be hosted by Richmond's own Ego von Hubris.
Ego von Hubris.
That is correct.
Oh my.
And it will feature our headliners as well as a wealth of other burlesque and sideshow performers from Virginia, all over Virginia.
Sounds like somebody who should be in the White House right now. Ego von Hubris.
I think that is who's in the White House right now.
I would love to see Ego's
or Mimi like, von Narcissus.
impression of our head of state at the time.
There we go. Thank you.
Right now, I want someone called Mimi Del Narcissista.
I'm sure that there is some burlesque performer whose name is that.
Yes.
So we're really looking forward to that. And it will be capped off with something that is extra to the Virginia Burlesque and Sideshow Festival on November 3rd and 4th. Mm. On the 5th, which is a Sunday morning, we're going to have a chamber music jam brunch.
What?
That's right.
Chamber music jam brunch.
There's a great chamber music group in Stanton called Caravanserai, and they invite other classical music performers to come with their instruments or their sheet music, and they have a jam, which
that's
I didn't think was a thing.
Awesome.
But it's so cool.
Yeah, what chamber? That's
it's
like
so
unheard
awesome.
Of.
And so it's kind of our like end cap to a beautiful weekend of the Virginia Burlesque and Sideshow Festival. And hopefully, again, wouldn't it be so cool if like you saw the person who was stripping the night before or doing glass walking the night before also happened to be an accomplished violist?
Right?
And so they go to the jam.
No. That would violate my preconceptions.
Well, I got to tell you.
That would blow my biases.
The Caravanserai chamber music group that's hosting the event is also going to be featuring some of the music that was performed to during the festival in chamber music style.
That's
mind blown.
Awesome. Yeah.
So you got to come to both. That's the answer.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's going to be a wonderful weekend. And I'm so thrilled to be hosting it at the Kettle again to just like smash this propaganda about small towns not having diversity and small towns not having options and small towns not having art, because it isn't true. And our very well listened to discussion from last time I was here about going back to the idea of like art is not a luxury. Performance is not a luxury. It is something that is for anyone to access.
Yes.
And so we are laying the groundwork and taking action to lay that foundation to have everybody have access, and not just to have a voice to perform, but also to witness and see and interact. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know what's going to happen from an audience who has seen a person of color with a non-hetero presenting lifestyle as a belly dancer.
Right.
Like what does that even compute in some people's brains?
Yeah.
You know, like it ruins your preconceived as Clinton so thoughtfully put. So again, messing with that in a way that is constructive and messing with that in a way that allows our performers to feel welcomed and celebrated, but also for our audience is to feel welcomed and celebrated. And I think that we can make beautiful art babies together.
Yay!
Consensually.
Carmel, you are a force and a wonder. Thank you so much for coming back on the show. Tell them once again when.
It's the Virginia Burlesque and Sideshow Festival on November 3rd and 4th. Ticketing is available at the-kettle.co. That's the-kettle.co. Co.
Awesome. Where it's all copacetic. Excellent.
Oh,
thank you, Carmel.
Thank you, guys. Love to see you.
Love to see you too, baby.
And now it's time for Leslie's weekly rant.
Yes. So less of a rant and more of a kind of an ode today. So I saw Black Monologues last night at UVA. And I didn't see last year's show, but I went to this year's show because I had several friends that were in it, and my AD from Jitney, Jess, directed it, and I have not been that moved in the theater in I don't know how long. And I think part of the reason I was moved was not just because of the level of performance, but also because all of these pieces were written by the students that performed them. So there was a level of intimacy with the work that I have rarely seen. So I just want to read you. So the show closed last night, so you can't see it. And if you missed it, then you missed something amazing. But I just want to read you the titles of these pieces so you can get a little bit of what went on last night. A Black Monologue, Freedom Monologue, For My Safety, Black Love, A Call to Action, Black America, Master Jefferson, My Right, Suspension, How to Make Love to a Black Woman, Taboo, The UVA Blues, You Will Not Replace Us, All Rise, Patriotic Paradox, Sister Brother to a Little Boy Girl, TJ's Nightmare, Dear Mama Africa, Seven Society, For Black People Who Don't Swim, Smile, QUVA, Four Women, That Bitch, For Your Entertainment, Hand Clapping, IAT Monologue, Black Rhythm Matters, and Who Are We? All right. I think next week everybody needs to celebrate art made from people who are of color. That's your call to action, people. All right. Thank you all for joining. We want to thank our guests, Danny Shea, Kat Dillon, and Carmel Clavin, for coming on the show and talking about their art. And next up, it's the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. He's talking to Jerry Stinger. And there's the pronunciation right there. I didn't read. Stinger, the director of the State Office of Climatology at UVA's Department of Environmental Science. It's been great. It's been wonderful. We will see you next week. Bye.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.